Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
St. John Damascene, often known as, well, not he and Bernard compete for being known as the last church father. St. John Damascene is one of the first examples of a saint, and in particular of a priest, who lived under Muslim occupation, under Muslim rule. And as a result of living under this, he is well known, and his great addition and why he is called a doctor of the church is because of his defense of the church's, Christianity's, use of images. That we have statues. We paint our Lord. We depict him in our arts, in particular in crucifixes and other ways of showing the face of the God-man. And of course, this was something that Islam itself disagrees with, and even the iconoclast of the Eastern Church also, who wanted to destroy all images, claiming that we must follow the commandment to not carve graven images. But John's argument, St. John's argument, as to why we should feel indeed entitled, should feel righteousness in depicting our Lord in art and depicting the saints in art, is that, well, God sent his Son. God gave his Son a human face. Quite literally. Men and women, the disciples who we hear about in today's gospel, the Blessed Mother, and all those who encountered Jesus in his earthly ministry, all gazed upon the face of God. So if God himself felt that he could encapsulate himself, could be captured within a human person, then we too, while recognizing that we can never fully depict God, that we can never fully grasp him, that his greatness, his beauty, and his goodness cannot be held within an image, painted, hewn, whatever way it is depicted. But yet we should feel entitled, we should feel a certain justification to do so, to help us to see the deeper meaning. And we can even see this deeper meaning is something that we must always keep in mind. Because I think so often we want to focus on the intellectual, grasp the abstract ideals, the Trinity, incarnation. But then we must always depict it. We must always make it concrete, make it tactile, make it physical, observable in some way. Because as the Lord tells the disciples to go around curing the sick, healing the lame, driving out demons, he is telling them to do something that has a visible reality, but he did not just simply come to cure illness. He did not simply come to do away with deformities. But instead he came to do away with the sickness and the deformity of sin. And these exterior realities depict that interior reality, that he desires to drive out sin from our midst. And this is why the church continues to build up and exemplify the need for us to depict the saints, for us to have exterior actions. It's why we kneel, sit, and stand as Catholics, because the disposition of our body helps to dispose our hearts to the realities that we see. It is why it is important in the way that we worship, that as we go up to the altar, and on this day to the high altar, we're reminded that we go up to God himself. The mystery of the Mass is not about me, but instead it is about the Lord. It is about going up his holy mountain to beseech the Lord to bestow grace upon us, to beseech his mercy, to ask him to have mercy on us, poor sinners, to ask for him to send his help, his aid, that after having received that, after having besought him for that, we then, if we are in a worthy state, can receive the gift of the Eucharist, the Godhead in hiding under the appearance of bread and wine, that we can receive from his hand all goodness, the medicine that we need to be cured, not of blindness physically, not of being lame, of a cold, but instead of our sinfulness, our selfishness, our pride. It is in these exterior realities that if we truly understand, if we try to grasp them, if we seek our Lord in them, not ourselves, not our own pleasures, not our own desires, but seek him, he can reveal to us a deeper reality, a reality which is written upon the human heart, upon the human soul, that the Lord has indeed given us a human face, a human heart, and to which we can entrust ourselves.